this is our third matter for oral argument this morning, November 17. Judges Smith and Gaitis join myself, Judge Sleater, the presiding judge. Our third matter is file A210612, Josie Marie Martin, petitioner respondent. Justin Michael Martin is the appellant. And because only appellant filed a brief through counsel in this matter, there's been no response by respondent, both by rule and order of this court. We'll hear only an oral argument from counsel for appellant, Mr. Martin. And so you'll see the clock in the corner, counsel. And if we lose you for some reason or lose connection, the clock will stop and we'll reconnect with you. And so if you would identify yourself for our record, you may then begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Brian Lewis, appearing on behalf of appellant Justin Martin. May it please the court. This case is really about the intersection of family law and disability law, specifically what must be shown in order to require a court to respect a decision of a coordinate district court, as well as to render a person incapable of proceeding. In this case, the evidence is fairly plain that Mr. Martin was not competent to proceed. As I outlined in the statement of the facts, which I won't take up much time with here, Mr. Martin had already been detained by order of the Ramsey County District Court several days prior to the OFP hearing. The Mille Lacs County District Court held that hearing despite ample evidence in the record, on the transcript actually, that Mr. Martin was calling from a facility, and counsel for the appellee had even acknowledged to the court during the course of those proceedings that he was in fact pending a civil commitment here. As there is no law directly on point that I could find, the statutory definition of what it takes to be under a civil commitment controls, and that's a serious danger to self or others such that they cannot, and I'll stop there, is that it's a serious danger to self or others. In fact, Mr. Martin had shown not only that he had that level of incapacity, but he had also displayed such disordered thinking that he could not rationally come to a meeting of the minds, which is the standard for an OFP by consent or without findings, as the district court had done. On page 8 of my brief, I had set in detail the statutory definition of a person who poses a risk to harm. And in that definition, the legislature clearly undertook not only organic but inorganic perceptions of thought that would serve to render a person incompetent.
I'm wondering, and maybe this isn't a fair question, but I'm just wondering what the district court should have done under these circumstances. I mean, in a criminal case, for example, a district court arguably would have had an obligation to request an evaluation of the defendant to determine competence. What about in a case like this? What was the district court's obligation?
Your Honor, what we believe the district court should have done, which it did not do, was to question the appellant such that it could have satisfied itself that he understood the oath, he understood the nature of the proceedings, he understood what had happened that had caused this. And even though the court didn't do it, the other avenue, once the court knew that he was calling from a facility, was to continue the ex parte. There, in this state, an ex parte OFP is just the same as a regular OFP issued after hearing. And there was no prejudice to any party. had the judge continued the OFP. So
would there not be, though, what about the custody, parenting time, child support issues, though? You're saying that the district court here didn't have the record in the other case. I understand that the district court understood that he was calling from a facility and that there had been a hold and was facing civil commitment proceedings, but the district court had the record of those civil proceedings presented. I understand that your client was not represented by counsel, but there were matters to be determined in the OFP that mattered to his wife. And what are you in your, so the idea that there would be no change with just the continuance of the ex parte seems not quite right.
Your Honor, the ex parte, on an ex parte basis, a judge of this state can order custody and parenting time until hearing. And that could have continued without change until the hearing. Now, as to child support, that is probably an avenue that may have needed a hearing, although it's not fairly, I don't think it's fairly before this court because the appellee didn't file brief or challenge that. But I think that in terms of custody and parenting time, the ex parte OFP could have controlled, Your Honor.
And Mr. Lewis,
Go ahead. Sorry.
Mr. Lewis, if we were to then accept your answer to Judge Gaeta's question that the judge should have in some method of voir dire of the of your client to determine his competency, would we then upon appellate review simply review the transcript and his answers to the questions and make a determination that it appeared that he was competent? Is that a proper role for us, and can we do that from this record?
No, Your Honor. I understand the expediency that would be present with that avenue, but as Your Honor is well aware, the proper avenue of the appellate court is to review the record and defer generally to the fact finding made by the district court. So in this position, I think the proper avenue would be that it would have to go back to Mille Lacs County. Alternatively, this court could find that the Ramsey County District Court made that determination that Your Honor's concerned about when they held the appellant pending a formal hearing on the civil commitment. The Ramsey County District Court determined that Mr. Martin suffered from a disorder of thought such that he was not able to competently proceed or be outside the outside a locked facility.
So Mr. Lewis, when you answered my question, you indicated that the district court here had an obligation to sort of assess the competence of your client in real time as the proceedings were happening. We don't know that didn't occur though, right?
Your Honor, the transcript demonstrates that there was no inquiry made such that the district court asked, do you understand the purpose of the oath? Do you understand what the petition is about? That's fairly plain from the transcript.
But again, to bring us back to the criminal context, where a district court has an obligation to order a competence evaluation if there's concern, there's no requirement that a district court judge make such an on-the-record inquiry of the defendant before ordering an evaluation. And I'm not aware of any requirement that such a record be made. Are you asking us to conclude that in these kinds of circumstances, a district court needs to make some kind of a record of any in the moment assessment that is being performed in court?
Your Honor, if I'm understanding Your Honor's question correctly, there are some indications based on previous cases that civil court judges should make some of the, should ask some of those questions. And that would be, controlled by cases such as Wall et al. V. Fairview Hospital, where the Supreme Court of Minnesota said that typically the district court conducts a preliminary examination to determine whether a witness understands the obligations of the oath and correctly narrate the facts to which, in that case, her testimony relates. So I think there is a fair case to make that that the district court was under an obligation to make that on the record finding.
So regardless, and just so that I make sure I'm understanding your argument, regardless of whether the district court in the moment assessed, concluded that this person was tracking the proceedings, above and beyond that, your argument is that the district court had some obligation to make some kind of a record, especially against the backdrop of the civil commitment proceeding.
Absolutely, Your Honor. This case is unique because of Mr. Martin's commitment status. He was held, and the district court, upon being informed not only by Mr. Martin stating that he was calling from a facility, but by the representation of opposing counsel that he was in a civil commitment proceeding, the district court had a duty to either respect the decision already made by the Ramsey County District Court or to conduct its own inquiry, so that way there was an adequate record upon which to base this court's review.
Counsel, can I ask then what I'm trying to, so that you're saying a duty was triggered by the knowledge that the district court had to do an inquiry. How does that relate to, and I suppose then to make a decision on the spot, if the court decided on the spot that he seemed competent, would just continue, right, with the hearing and come to a decision. Your earlier reference to letting the ex parte order continue only would be if the court found him not competent following the inquiry that you're saying the court should have done. Is that right?
Your Honor, I believe that's correct. He was unable to proceed, and that established. Had the court made a contrary finding, we might very well be here depending on what those findings were, because they would have contradicted the findings of the commitment court. However, the district court at a minimum, the Mille Lacs County District Court at a minimum, had the duty to make a record concerning Mr. Martin's competency or lack thereof. And even at that minimal step, our argument is that the court failed.
Okay, this is probably a stupid question. How long could the district court have let the ex parte order continue without holding a hearing? I probably should know the answer, but I do not.
Your Honor, the statute gives the defendant, or gives the respondent, I believe, 20 days to request a hearing, and there is no length of time in the statute that I'm aware of where the court can let the ex parte continue. In fact, this court recently held that COVID conditions could necessitate hearings continuing in the criminal context past the 60-day demand for a speedy. However, in this case, because of the commitment factor, it would seem to be that the Mille Lacs County District Court could continue it at least until the Ramsey County Court decided Mr. Martin was competent to proceed. So that would probably be the right answer. Also, there was a question earlier regarding the child support and custody factors. Because Mr. Martin was incompetent to proceed, and Mr. Martin had made such contradictory statements as I outlined in my brief, it would be impossible for the court to adequately assess an amount of child support based on the record. If this court should remand to the Mille Lacs County District Court, then at that point, the district court can assess all the factors under the child support statute and make a determination as to what child support, if any, should be set. From our perspective, this would be a very narrow decision applicable to very few, if any, other circumstances. Civil commitments in this state are not exactly a booming business, and we should be thankful for that. So the fact that whatever decision this court makes would be very narrow. And with that, I see my time has run.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. We appreciate your answers to our questions today and your briefing in this matter. We will now take the matter under advisement and issue an order within 90 days. And you have a good day, sir.
You're
welcome. You too.